The ranch house in which she lived was made of adobe. There was a spring not far away from which she often fetched water. And that was what she was doing one bright day. The men were off somewhere at the time, so they never heard her screams. The children, still inside the ranch house, they did hear the screams. Terrified, they bolted the door. And when the men finally returned, they found the ranch woman not far from the spring, dead. Not only dead, but mangled. They hurried to the house where the youngsters had remained trembling. What had happened, the men asked. One of the children started to cry. It was a red ghost, she said. A big, red ghost. Back at the grisly scene, one of the men was puzzling over the awesome wounds on the woman's body. They almost appeared to be hoof prints, but they couldn't be. The strange impressions were twice the size of a horse's hoof. And nearby, something even more startling, long strands of hair, and not the dead woman's hair, red hair. A coroner was called from a neighboring town. He examined the body, was absolutely confounded. Death in an unknown manner, he declared, and he left. And thus from these facts was born the legend of the Red Ghost. Later that same week, two prospectors were terrorized over on Chase Creek. They'd been sleeping in camp when the Red Ghost came and destroyed the tent. Close by, snarled in the chaparral, long strands of red hair. More true material on which 100 subsequent ghost stories would be based. And apart from verifiable history, the legend persisted for decades. Sometimes it was only made-up stories. Other times, practical jokers would frighten folks into believing that they had been visited by the Red Ghost. But this is the rest of the story. One day the Red Ghost, the real one, was sighted and was shot. A camel, a red-haired camel, left over from the time that our army had imported camels to try them out for military service. This was a camel with a most unpleasant disposition. And that unpleasant disposition had been inspired by a group of drunken miners, because many years previous, they had strapped a dead man to his back. That killed the ranch woman and frightened the prospectors and sparked one of the strangest legends of the American Southwest. For the truth was even stranger than the fiction it spawned. Riding that red ghost, riding the red ghost, was a human skeleton. Now you know the rest of the story.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
And good afternoon and welcome back to Protecting What Matters. It's not Barry Fisher, if you can't tell. It's Eric Gorham. Barry's out doing his thing. I think he's in Colorado right now, and he'll be back in a few weeks. I do have to read something before we get to Seth Peek. I wanted to say Esquire, but city councilman. So we have the city of Paso Robles Fire Emergency Services, put out a notice. I'm going to read this probably one more time this hour. Natural gas leaks safely mitigated. Railroad Street reopened to the public. Paso Robles, California, Paso Robles Fire and Emergency Services pleased to announce that the natural gas leak at 1200 block of railroad has been safely mitigated following repairs by the gas company and a thorough safety assessment by emergency responders. All road closures have been lifted. Evacuation occupancy have been allowed to return, and the area has been reopened to the public. We extend our sincere appreciation to the community for its patience, cooperation, and for avoiding the area while emergency crews worked to ensure the safety of residents, businesses, and visitors. Your cooperation allowed responders to work efficiently and safely. So that's from Paul Patty, media contact, and battalion chief. So anyway, we're here. We're with Seth Peek. We're going to talk Atascadero. Is that that what we're doing here?
Yeah, whatever you want to do, Eric.
I think we talk Atascadero. So we have a city councilman from Atascadero. Was this your first year? Full year?
I'll be coming up on the end of my second year, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. I'm off. Time goes by too quick.
November 2024, that election, I was elected.
All right. And I might have you come just a hair closer to the microphone, sure. Make sure everybody hears you. Or make sure my mic's up in my ears here. So what's going on? What's happening in Atascadero? Is there anything special coming around the corner?
It's the middle of summer. You know, the fair just got done in Paso. Atascadero's got a couple events in the summertime. We have our summer concert series at the Atascadero Lake Park on Saturday evenings, followed by the movies in the park at the Colony Park. Great for families, bring a low back chair and hang out. We have cruise night in August, in a few weeks, on that Friday evening. And just summertime in Atascadero. It's a little warm, but you know, not as warm as Paso, but just a hair right. Cooler. But we've got some fun events and looking forward to, you know, how the rest of the year shakes out.
I will tell you that last year I was going to go to concerts in the park in Paso. I was meeting some people and I remember it was 104 degrees and I drove through Paso and I'm like, nope. I end up at the wine bar in Templeton, but
yeah, it can be rough. It can be rough for sure.
Oh, yeah. So what's going on? Is there anything interesting happening with the city council? You guys got big issues in front of you?
Our general plan update should be codified and finalized before probably around latest early October. So that's kind of the biggest deal. So we'll be set for the next 20 years till 2045 is the plan. And, you know, the general plan is a roadmap. It's not set in stone. Things can change over the years and the 20 years. But it's kind of a general outlook on the direction of development in the city and having some sort of cohesive outlook, you know?
Right.
But there's a lot of businesses that are kind of been tiptoeing into Atascadero, and there's a lot of local businesses that are expanding too. The one I most recently found out was I think it's called Three Windows Brewing or something like that. It's in Santa Barbara and Carpinteria, and they're opening... they're leasing the old Tent City Brewing building.
Oh, I was wondering what was going to happen with that.
They bought all the brewing equipment in there, so they're going to be opening there. They're a pretty successful brewing company in Santa Barbara County, and I believe they're somehow related to the Fess Parker wine family, maybe like a grandson. And I think he might have used to live here and moving back to open this business. So it's a successful brewery. There'll be a restaurant component there as well.
But okay.
Should be pretty cool.
I know. I think Atascadero might be trying to corner the market in pubs over there. A little place. There's quite a few of them.
Yeah, you know, it's not a huge town, and so you know, there's definitely probably a cap on that. But right now we're seeing success with that. Yeah.
All right. So on the general plan, which way is Atascadero heading? Are they going to try to say small, more bedroom oriented? Are they trying to expand more business? What's it looking like over there?
I think the biggest change for me is like areas. That I feel like is the biggest change is the areas along El Camino Real that are generally historically just been strip malls and kind of a lot of vacancies off and on through the years. A lot of those areas are being rezoned. Well, it seems like it's going that way. There's really not a lot of turnaround. We're not going to turn around and redo it all. There'll be a lot of mixed use going in there. So you can have, you know, a little two-story condo, four unit building there next to it could be an office next to it, you know, over years people can develop them, but kind of going away from the strip mall kind of motif right. Into more of a what can we use maximally, give the property owner more options, because I'm a big proponent of if you got property, let's give you the most amount of options that you can do on it and least amount of restrictions. So I think the mixed use change is going to be big for like El Camino Real areas. And then there's a couple areas on the north end of town on El Camino Real that are turning into more innovation flex, kind of like Tin City, where there can be multiple different types of businesses in one area.
Right.
That's right now it's just commercial, like the side of the like where Kennedy Club Fitness is along there.
Oh yeah,
making that more flexible through there. There's a few vacant lots there, you know, down by Bay Laurel Nursery, and so you know we'll see what happens.
Yeah, actually, yeah. It could be interesting. You know, maybe they'll bring the dugout back.
What's the dugout?
You don't know the dugout?
I've been here 15 years.
Man.
Before my time.
So back in the day, there was a little sports bar kind of by the Taco outlets.
Bell? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it was right where Taco Bell is. Mm-hmm. And it's just a little dive beer place. You know what I mean? I mean, I wasn't ever old enough to go there. It's a pre-me. You know what I mean? But I remember hearing about the dugout for, you know, just like I think where, you know, right on, Morrow Road and Curb Rail, you have, and I don't know what, it's always been a little Mexican place for the last few years, but it's changed hands. Yeah. I can't remember what, I'm not sure what it's called right now. Mm. But they used to do like mud bogging back there back in the day. I think there's a lot of weird stuff. I mean, you used to be able to take boats out on Atascadero Lake.
Yeah, I've seen lots of pictures of that.
Atascadero has changed over the years. And a lot of that was before it was actually a city.
1979.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a lot of that stuff ended right around the early 80s, late 70s, probably because of incorporation.
Well, we're seeing also, speaking of the down by Del Rio, that complex, the Del Rio Marketplace, is being very successful. You know, Valley Fresh is a very successful grocer since they've opened. You know, and we have Anna and company moved there from downtown. So now she has regular hours for browsing, no longer just private shopping. Central Coast Distillery has been doing good there, and they're right there by Valley Fresh. There's a Pilates studio that's opening there. I believe the one from Templeton's moving. And the other buildings that are three stories high are starting to get more tenancy. So, you know, there's success over there. We recently, the new owners of the outlets, which is now it's called something else now, but it used to be the outlets. The new owners have put a lot of money into sprucing up the facade and stucco patching, wood trim replacement, and painting that whole building over the last couple months. So
nice.
Yeah, I know that we're actively looking for a replacement for Big Lots. So, you know, the city's doing our part to try to fill these vacancies of the larger commercial buildings.
Right. Yeah. Atascadero has definitely been changing over probably the last 15 years or so. I mean, first it was housing. Mm-hmm. We kind of got like Colony Park and different places like that. Mm-hmm. We got Apple Valley. Mm-hmm. And now you're seeing more restaurants, more businesses, mm-hmm. shopping. Is the old Walmart lot, are we still going to be glamping over there? Or?
Well, that the developer has put it up for sale. So
okay.
So they got an entitlement from the city with the plans and the design concept, and then the city has approved the project. So now it's for sale. The property's for sale, and the project's for sale with the property. So
so hopefully.
Or yeah,
maybe. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. Proof of concept is there. There's a lot of other towns and cities in the Central Coast that have something like this that does well.
And Paso has a couple of them, and they do well.
And these would actually incorporate restaurants on the corner. So, like, people that aren't staying there could go there, and then, you know, the RV people have a pool in different areas. And that's, you know, that's a lot of acreage there. And it's slope, so you'll have nice views of the West Hills if you're on upper campgrounds, and there'll be a... No, lots of different amenities there.
And we do have a call. Ooh, we had a call. Call back if you're listening out there. That's interesting, you know. So, yeah, I think, you know, you drive around Atascadero, and it's kind of grown slowly. And I remember Paso as a kid. It was nothing like it is now. I kind of... It's a double-edged sword for Paso for me, but you guys aren't doing that.
Yeah.
You guys are slowly kind of building up. It's still kind of
filling in the cracks.
Yeah, it's still kind of a bedroom
there's nowhere
community.
To go on the outside. There's we're kind of limited.
Well, it's a weird layout because they put a highway right down the middle of the town.
Right. Yeah.
It actually, before the highway, had a decent layout, I think. And what was the guy? The original real estate guy there at the...
E.G. Lewis?
Yeah, E.G. Yeah, Lewis. I mean, he had a pretty good layout.
Mm-hmm.
And then up until that point, they put a giant highway through the middle of the town.
Yeah, split it in half.
Yeah. Before my time.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people look at that and they're like, well, why is that? And it's like, it's unfortunately back then they didn't really care if they split your town in two But I think you guys have done a lot, just, you know, especially the Sunken Gardens, you know, they had that renovation project years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with that and what kind of Mike Zappas did across the street, it's mm-hmm. just that just changed the look of the town completely. The
plaza.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, it's interesting, you know, Atascadero internally, for businesses, we have like a reputation of having like, you know, 30 plus Mexican restaurants, and 10 plus coffee right. shops, and how can they survive? And the answer is like, people love coffee and they love burritos. So
apparently, yeah,
it's free market. You know, if you want to open a burrito stand and you do well, then more power to you. You know, so I think it's a.
I always laugh because in Paso and Atascadero, I was like, every time a restaurant closes, a Mexican restaurant opens. You know, it seems that way. And but we do have some good food around here.
Oh, definitely.
You know, yeah.
I grew up in San Diego. I moved here 15 years ago, and so Mexican food is like. It's like the national, it's like the city cuisine of San Diego.
Right.
California burritos is what I grew up on, you know?
Well, when I grew up growing up here, it was what I would call white people Mexican food. You know what I mean? Now we actually have most of the places are authentic.
It was Tex-Mex.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And I'm not going to name any places because some of them are still here. Yeah. And I'm not trying to, I still like that kind of food, actually. Sometimes you're in the mood for it. But it's interesting. We have gotten a good, you know, if you want a taco or a burrito, there's some good places.
Yeah, I shouldn't say my favorite, but I'll just tell you my favorite dish is I go to La Paria and I get their ceviche, which is probably one of the freshest ceviches you can get in this area at La Paria. And they actually have one in Paso as well. So
right.
It's the same. The food's the same at both restaurants, even the one in Arroyo Grande. And
La Paria is the one right in... the Vons or no?
Yeah, and then it's over here on across from Wells Fargo, and then there's one on Grand and.
They have like a shrimp burrito bowl that's like bomb. I haven't gotten in a while, but it is super good.
Yeah, but I mean, Tascadero's just been it's been awesome. It's been awesome to serve the community. And I had coffee with a constituent this morning, a resident this morning, just you know, wants to talk about stuff that they care about. I'm always up for a phone call or a coffee meeting and hear people out and. It's been fun being in the role and being, you know, part of it and kind of being the liaison for other business owners and residents.
And I think people forget once you get elected, they just think, oh, you know, Seth is up there, or John Pichon's over there. They're out of reach. And it's just like when you hire an insurance agent, oh, he sold me the insurance. But regardless, when you have or you elect somebody, preferably, you know, it's very, you know, I think there's a few towns, maybe San Luis Obispo, it's kind of hard to get a lunch with somebody, not a lunch, but, you know, meet with them. But I think people forget that it's kind of your duty too. I want to go see what's going on. I want to put my voice in, whether it's going to a meeting or having coffee or whatever it is. It's something I think a lot of people don't realize. They can make a phone call or email and figure it out.
It's generally what I do. So being a business owner as well, my role in the other business, in the businesses that we own is like, you know, I go and meet people. I do, you know, meetings, networking, whatever it is, Rotary Club. So my calendar is open for meeting with people. And so it's been a natural transition for me into city council to have the open schedule to, you know, it's not unlimited. I have about three windows a week to meet with people, but usually I fill one to three of them a week. And it's been nice because I'm meeting people I've never met before. I run into people at the cafe at the Nest or something where, hey, are you so-and-so? Yeah, we just start talking.
Right.
Sometimes they have something to tell me that they're unhappy with. Sometimes they're happy with something. It's just nice to see people and to meet who I represent because I was one of them until 2 years ago.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, you are a sponsor here, right?
I am. Yeah. We have two commercials on this station and we're the Peak Brothers is like our.
Yeah. That's what people know.
Yeah. And my wife and I, my brother, we own Peak Painting, and then my wife and I have Peak Realty. But it's definitely, I like KPRL. I love the station. I love what you guys do here. And Gary Brill's a good Rotary mentor of mine.
Nice.
And so we've recorded his studio in the back of his house, recorded our commercials over there.
There you go.
I write them. He records them. He puts the bumper music to them, and there you go.
And then those, I mean, I know you at least have one other business that you might not advertise, but you're a busy guy.
Yeah, we have a Atascadero CrossFit, which is a small group training facility for people of all ages, shapes, sizes, men, women, people in their 70s, teenagers, to do CrossFit. So we do CrossFit classes there. I'm a coach there once a week, and I own the gym with we have a business partner, Michael and Lauren, and we run the gym there, and that's fun. That's just a fun business, and Peak Realty, Peak Painting are like the original businesses, and Atascadero CrossFit's it's like you own a clubhouse.
Right.
It's a very good environment. Everybody has a great time. Very family friendly environment, and people get their sweat on.
Right. So you think I can lose this if I start going? I don't know.
You know, if you put you on the 6-week program, get you on the right diet, I bet you I can shed 15 pounds in 6 weeks.
All right.
Weeks.
Yeah. I've done 20.
And that's not a guarantee, but I'll give it my college try.
I'm probably, I'm down 20 pounds actually, but I've been stalled. I kind of, life got, you know, gets away from you sometimes. I'm not really gaining. I'm just stalled out.
Yeah. It's all good. But yeah, it's the most interesting thing about our three businesses is that they're all in the 3,000 block of El Camino Real. So my real estate office is 600 meters from the gym, and you keep going another 200 meters and you're at the painting shop behind Joe Bella.
And there's good coffee. Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I can just walk around with my dog between the three businesses, and, you know, unless I have a meeting somewhere, I don't have to get in my truck.
And if you want to meet with Seth, Joe Bella has great coffee.
If you can get a table, man, that place is...
Oh, I know. It's going crazy now. Yeah.
It's very busy. And our paint shop's behind there. We have a building behind Joe Bella, and struggling for parking sometimes in the morning.
Oh, yeah. That place gets packed. So I've gone in to get coffee or beans or something, and... you can't, it's like, man, and you can't really park on the street up there, so you got to try to find a spot. And that little side parking lot gets packed quick, too.
Yeah, Juan does a great job. He's a business partner with Joe now, and for the last few years, and Juan does a great job. They've done a great job expanding that side room, and it's a great meeting place. You're guaranteed to run into someone you know.
Oh, yeah.
At that coffee shop.
Yeah, I say that, and I don't know if you go out to Creston, but there's certain places, and Long Branch is one of them. It's like I never go out there and don't see somebody that I know from Atascadero or Paso or Templeton. There's always somebody out there on a Friday or Saturday night, and Joe Bella, too. You go in there, and, you know, there's a lot of local politics. I know that's one of Dan Dow's favorite places.
He's always in there getting his beans.
Yeah, he's getting his beans because he's got his espresso maker in his office.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people.
And he's proud of that espresso. I think that espresso maker has been to, like, overseas to, like, war-torn areas and stuff.
It's probably owned by Dan. You should probably say that. So the
No,
taxpayers aren't buying
it. It is Dan's. I think he brought it in and kind of donated it to the office. Not the office donated it to him.
Yeah.
But I've heard the backstory on the espresso maker, and he definitely gets his beans there.
Yeah.
So are we still getting a Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, we're getting a Chick-fil-A. So the way, you know...
Oh, man, we might have to talk about Chick-fil-A. This is a great teaser because people love Chick-fil-A.
I know. It is. It's unsatisfying, my answer, but it's coming.
It's coming. Yeah. All right. Well, so much for the teaser. You know, we can't rely on Seth to get you guys hooked to come back in the second segment here. But we will be right back with more Atascadero Talk and Seth Peak. Stay tuned.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. President Trump honoring the late Senator Lindsey Graham today at the National Cathedral in Washington.
But no matter how high he rose, he never forgot where he came from. There's probably not a single town in South Carolina where Lindsey did not help repair a bridge, expand a school, improve a hospital, or recover from a disaster.
It's the start of 2 days of services for Graham with burial tomorrow in his home state of South Carolina. He died July 11th at the age of 71. No deaths reported despite a powerful tornado tearing into communities in Wisconsin. Winds hitting 140 miles per hour. Cleanup underway. Several homes destroyed. Roads choked with debris.
This is going to be a long challenge for the community. Ask everybody to stick together, and that includes being patient with each other.
Winnebago County Executive Gordon Hintz. America's listening to Fox News.
Paso Fire and Emergency Services is currently on the scene of a natural gas leak due to a damaged gas line on the 1200 block of Railroad Street. While Paso Fire and Police work with the gas company for repairs, Railroad Street and Pine Street between 12th and 13th Street have been closed. Nearby buildings have been evacuated. The public is urged to avoid the area and use alternate routes until the incident has been resolved. Currently, there is no estimated time of reopening. The city first reported the incident at about 10:20 a.m.
And welcome back to Protecting What Matters. If you have any questions, we'd love to hear them. We're going to be talking to Atascadero City Council, things going on in Atascadero. We have one of the leading experts in Atascadero, City Councilman Seth Peak. The phone number is 238-5775, 238-KPRL. And, even if you just have a question like when is movie night or when's concert in the parks or you know who's playing, you can always tell them where to go look at. You know, I'm sure the Tascadero has a website, then go see what's going on.
Yeah, visit atascadero.com.
There you go, easy. You
any questions about, you know, if there's any buildings you're curious about, there's a lot going on.
So did the butterfly garden work out?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Is there butterflies?
I don't know yet. I don't think it's butterflies.
I don't think
I don't think it's monarch season
yet. It's a little hot. Yeah. I think it was earlier, so yeah. It probably a little too soon this year.
So that was a good installment. It's actually a zoo exhibit, right?
Yes.
So it's considered a zoo exhibit, so that way it can be completely enforced. California has really lax, you know, homeless laws, right? So the fact that it's a zoo exhibit, we can maximally enforce no camping, no hanging out, no loitering, no right. chilling in that area. So that is it's a perk, but also it beautified the area of like
right.
another nice little pathway connecting Navajoa to 41 or Navajoa to Moro Road, whatever you want to call it.
And if you don't know where this is, it's right off when you get off on Moro going south.
Mm-hmm.
It's that little side strip, and for years we've seen it as a homeless encampment.
Yep.
And now it is part of the zoo.
Now it's a beautiful pathway with the plants got to grow in, you know, and Loma Drone donated some time out there too, and a few different people. There's a sculptor creating a nice sculpture. Actually, the artist that did the monolith up on Pine Mountain is
oh, really?
Welding something and using the high school trade school kids, the welding. I don't know what.
Maybe you can mount class, it on you know? Top of the monolith and yeah. have it spin.
Yeah. So they're going to be doing some sort of statue in there as well. And yeah, it's just been a nice addition.
Right.
Yeah, for
right.
sure.
No, yeah, it is. And it's beautifying that. Once the plants grow up a little bit, it'll be really beautiful. And hopefully, I think it's spring around here, I think. I know at my place I get a lot of butterflies, and it's always around spring.
I know February, February to April, maybe, you know, somewhere in there. I'm not a butterfly expert. I've been to like the Pismo Groves with my family years ago, and we saw there was a lot of monarchs there. I think it was late winter.
All right. Yeah. All right. And you know, I'm going to get this way out of the way one more time. We're going to read this press release from the city of Paso Robles, Paso Robles Fire and Emergency Services. That's where we get that out of the way. But the natural gas leak, it has been safely mitigated on Railroad Street. Railroad Street has been reopened. Paso Robles, California, Paso Robles Fire and Emergency Services is pleased to announce that the natural gas leak at the 1200 block of Railroad Street has been safely mitigated following repairs by the gas company and a thorough safety assessment by emergency responders. All road closures have been lifted, evacuation occupants have been allowed to return, and the area has been reopened to the public. We extend our sincere appreciation to the community for their patience, cooperation, and avoiding the area while the emergency crews worked to ensure the safety of the residents, businesses, and visitors. Your cooperation allowed responders to work efficiently and safely. So we try to get that out a few times. City of Paso Robles put that out, and it looks like everything's clear down there and has been for a little while. It's always good. I'm sure you guys deal with that kind of stuff time to time, but probably more the city manager or the safety services.
Public Works. Yeah.
All right.
Thankfully, we haven't had something like that in a while. the floods of 2023, we had some issues, and there's been some issues since then, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know, and I can't think of the name of the street, but right behind Moro and Kerberel.
Tecarita?
Yeah, I think so. Or no, not Tecarita.
Amapoa?
It might be Amapoa. That was like a lake.
Yeah.
During that. I remember walking by there, driving by there, and that it was just solid water back there.
Well, sections of that road have no curb and gutter, too. And
they don't really have road either.
Yeah, it's not a city-maintained road, which is another boondoggle for the city, a problem that needs to be tackled over the next few years.
Right.
I mean, there's no overnight solution, but I would love to adopt this non-city-maintained roads and kind of formulating some ideas in my head.
Right. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of something Atascadero does, and I think, was it 2 years ago? I believe everybody re-voted, but you guys have kind of a voluntary tax.
F-14.
That goes to your roads.
Yeah.
But it goes to the general fund, which a lot of people go, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. But you guys have done a pretty good job. You use that money, all of it, for
all
its intended purpose.
Yeah.
So if you want to tell us a little bit about that.
I think that's the D20, the one for the... But yeah, the F-14 is for the roads. that is basically making it to where we can repave and fix roads on a more regular basis. So that is, we send out a report every year of the roads that will be done that year, and then we send out a report of what roads were completed the previous year. We have a citizen tax oversight committee, and they basically are keeping an eye on what the money's spent on, what that tax is spent on, and yeah, I mean, it's all been used for the intended purpose. So,
and you and can that's tell been going on for a while.
It's 20, maybe 5-6 years. Yeah, it was L24 turned into F14. It was set to sunset, and then 2024 we extended it to just ongoing now.
So much like
the D20 tax, which is was passed in 2020 as well.
Okay, all right. And on that general plan, we got any other direction that's coming out of that?
Can you be more specific?
Well, I haven't looked at it, you know. But I don't know. Like, where is the Atascadero kind of headed? Where do they want to head? Where's the vision that our city council is leading us towards?
Economic vitality. We want businesses to come and have businesses that have employees that live in Atascadero, and you know, because those employees will end up utilizing services in Atascadero. They'll end up going to the grocery store here. You know, the more, just more vibrancy in our business community. I love doing business in Atascadero because it's not, it's still relatively, you know, affordable. It's a smaller footprint town, and people are generally more apt to become really good business partners with each other. So there's good relationships to be had in a town of that size. And, that's kind of the direction I'm focusing on. More housing is great, but we don't really have room to build like tracts of homes,
right?
Like you do in Paso. But we can supplement that by upzoning some areas that are near the main drags, so people can put a duplex or behind their house, or
right,
upzoning certain areas, or creating mixed use out of old commercial zones, to where if somebody wants to put offices with apartments above them. Okay. That's kind of where we're heading in California. I mean, there's so much red tape. Building a standalone ranch-style home on a mass production scale is insane, the cost.
Oh, yeah.
So these mixed-use projects and these quadplexes up to 6-12plexes they're kind of like the new thing in California, until we can get the state powers that be to make a common-sense decision, you know, and cut out a lot of the building red tape. We're just going to be building smaller dwelling units, and that's just the way it is.
Right. Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, even CEQA can get so out of hand sometimes.
Yeah.
On true. Some of these projects. I know they were looking at putting, and this is a totally different subject, but they're looking at putting in, oh gosh, I can't, was it Sykes, was it Reservoir? I can't remember which, it's some sites or something, but the environmental impact was $300 million, mm-hmm, before they even did it. So you know it's going to be more, but that's just, yeah, like, wow, okay. You know, for something we need water, but not that Atascadero's doing that. But how's the lake doing?
The lake's doing good. I mean, the lake it's not empty this year, this summer, right? You know, but there's a pipeline that feeds from the creek, like from the Atascadero Creek, and it's broken, and it's the amount of requirements to get it re-permitted to reopen from the, you know, the powers that be beyond the city is challenging, because you're dealing with a blue belt waterway that goes into the Salinas River, so you get a lot of the state water board involved and you get certain things. I'm not a big expert on that pipe. The public works guys would be able to tell you all about it, but it doesn't look like we're going to be getting that pipe back open this year to be refilling the lake. But it looks like we're getting a lot of rain this winter. I'm hearing that. Hold my breath, you know.
Right.
We're going to call retired Mr. Lindsay up and see what he thinks.
You know? He's still there.
He's still writing articles.
If you look at his Facebook and whatnot, he's still out there doing it.
But it seems like, you know, golfers and painters, we hate the rain, but we need it. But, you know, it's like you paint houses or you run a golf course, talk to Joel Clay, we start crying when it's raining.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Construction in general, yeah, you know.
That's true.
You know, if you're a dirt guy, you can't get your tractors going. And if you get like that year, what was it, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you couldn't do anything.
And, you know, we like to take care of our employees and keep them busy year round. And so it's not, I mean, we could take a couple weeks off if it rains, if it was just a 3-person operation. But when you got 16 to 20 guys working out in the field, you want to keep them fed, right? So it's it gets a little, the rain gets us a little stressed
right?
out.
Oh, yeah. It does, yeah. And I know, yeah, I know what it's like to try to keep guys busy.
Yeah.
And to be pressured to do it when, you know, the powers that be are like, no, we got to do it. And it's like, that year, it's like, we got, like, it hasn't stopped. Yeah. You can only do so much, you know? And, and you always have your little, I know I used to always have my little back pocket jobs where you're like, okay, we're going to work in Los Osos.
For sure.
Or wherever, where the ground's hydrophobic and it just runs off and nobody's getting stuck. But it's interesting. I do hear there's going to be a lot of rain, so we'll see what happens. And that probably takes some gearing up and budgeting from the city council to public works.
Yeah, getting some of the main stormwater lines kind of buttoned up and cleaned out. And, you know, because we had that issue last time it rained where the 41 underneath the 101 bridge flooded because the drains got clogged and the drain lines underneath the road got full and got clogged with something. And Just making sure that we have preparation when we know it's coming, that we're doing a lot of cleanup and preparation.
It's hard to call Roto-Rooter when that happens, you know.
You get that big water blaster truck that goes in there
and
blasts it out.
Right.
The water company is a good partner with the city. You know, a lot of people that don't live in Atascadero don't realize that the city doesn't run the water company. It's a mutual water company.
Right.
But we have a good relationship with them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's been a pretty good organization over the years.
Our water is very affordable in Atascadero.
Right.
And I like it that way. I like the shareholders own it. The city doesn't know how much water you're using. So it's not tied to your sewer rate. If you own a house, you pay a flat sewer rate.
Right.
Talked to my dad in San Diego. His trash, water, and sewer is all one rate. And it's like, it's a few $100 a month.
I think PASS, though, if I'm not wrong, is based on your water usage is your sewer usage.
Right, that's usually how it is, yeah. But since the city doesn't have the data from Atascadero Mutual Water Company, we just do a random single-family residence unit.
Yeah. Well, I know that I know some of the businesses around here will get two services. Because if you say you're a wine business and you use a lot of water, and you live with, or you have a business within the city limits, you'd be paying a phenomenal sewer bill.
Yeah.
So it's worth paying $5,000 or $10,000 to have a secondary service. But, well, it's more than that. That's probably the labor, but the services in Paso are very, if you want a meter in Paso, they are expensive.
A water meter?
Yeah, they are super expensive.
I think they're almost $30,000 in Atascadero.
Yeah. You know, back in the day when I was younger, I had my first house in Paso. I wanted to get a 1-inch. I wanted to upgrade from my 3/4-inch. You know what the quote from the city of Paso was?
I remember.
$175.
Wow.
They were going to come put it in. Now I think that's like seven. I don't know. That's a lot. I think it's in the, you know, tens of, like, at least 30 to somewhere between 30 and 70 grand. It's like no joke.
Yeah.
You know, but I remember back in the 90s, I remember getting that quote. And I'm like, all right, put it in. You know?
Right.
Or I think
right.
I had a, it was something, I had some tiny thing and I'm like, I want something bigger. I can't put my sprinklers on, you know. But
well, anything with water, I mean, as everybody knows, anything with water around here is a big pickle, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Salinas River being right where our wastewater treatment plant is, we have the water board is an interesting bedfellow, you know, because they're very, very strict. They want the wastewater to be cleaner, less total dissolved solids, less the salt than the drinking water. Yeah.
Yeah, I know Atascadero, St. Louis, I was working there years ago, and they have a plant over there that services some of the city.
Yeah.
And I was talking to one of the guys because we were going into that. It was for kind of like where Tesla is and all that. Mm-hmm. We were doing that development years ago. And he was saying, yeah, the water that comes, and I think the plant's across the highway. And he goes, the water, and there's a mainline sewer. And they're like, don't hit that sewer. That's what feeds the plant. And like high pressure or something. But he was saying, yeah, that water is actually cleaner than our drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you have to do all the special requirements to make sure nobody drinks it. So I'm going to bring you back to something because you gave us, I don't know about your answer. I was going to say
Chick-fil-A.
The Chick-fil-A.
Right. So the unsatisfying thing is like, I don't know when, but the satisfying part, the part I can tell you is that the plans are in, they've been rechecked and they are in the hands of the Chick-fil-A corporate office. And they're a very tight knit bunch. I mean, they build these restaurants like they're like your kid building Legos on the living room.
Yeah, they truck them in, don't they?
They know how to build a restaurant. They can build them very fast. So the plans are in their hands, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to be turning them back in with their corrections, probably minimal corrections because of how often they write them.
Right. Yeah. They probably have a pretty good system going.
But for those that don't know, it's going on the empty pad overlooking the 101 by Spring Hill Suites and Home Depot. So it's that part of the freeway that slows down, which, you know, it's going to, you know, all development impacts roads at some point in terms of traffic. But it's that one curve right there under the bridge that is kind of a slow down at rush hour up there. If you're right at that turn, you look up on the hill on the right, that's where Chick-fil-A will be. And it's going to accommodate, I think, 70 cars in the drive-through. So it'll be like a two-lane drive-through.
Oh, nice.
And there's the whole parking lot up there by the Spring Hill Suites that's going to be just for Chick-fil-A. And then there'll be another building built next to that that'll be, you know, maybe like something else, maybe like a Verizon or like a Wingstop. I don't know, whatever.
Right.
And then they're building a car wash over by Staples on that empty pad. They were entitled to build a car wash there. The developer, the owner, CoStar, that owns that whole Home Depot center.
Yeah.
So they got approved for a 10-bay car wash, like a self-serve, like a Sunday car wash or a, you know, quickie or one of those things. So that's later down the road. But part of the stipulation was that the developer has to finish Chick-fil-A, get final approval of occupancy before they can start. They can't. They can't go forward with the car wash first. They have to finish the Chick-fil-A first. So it's,
okay.
So that's a motivator.
Right, for sure. And I think one thing I noticed over at Tascadero for years, for a little while, they had Kmart, and now you got a few grocery stores. But the Kmart. One thing lacking, I think, that's always kind of lacked there, and that Walmart might have fixed, was sales tax.
Yeah. I think it would be. If I were to have my druthers and say, I wish there was a couple of spots where we could have industrial supply or construction supply, like El Camino building supply, or something like that, where larger ticket items, like piping supply, you know, HVAC supply house, something like that would help a lot. But if you look at the sales tax record, you know, the biggest driver of sales tax is gasoline and fast food. They're in the top 20. The majority of them are fast food and gasoline, gas stations, like convenience stores and gas. And then you have the grocers and the Home Depot at the end, at the back. So you can see the volume comes from fuel stations and fast food restaurants.
Okay.
And Chick-fil-A, you know, they do millions of dollars a year. You know, we're looking at it's probably going to be a few hundred thousand dollars in sales tax a year if it goes as well as they think it will.
Yeah, I think you have another In-N-Out on your hands.
Yeah.
You know.
Sonic Burger kind of took a dive, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if anything's done well there.
Yeah, it's a weird spot. The KFC was always a strange location.
And then you're competing with the...
Yeah, and that bridge is a challenge with traffic when there's right. people coming and going trying to In-N-Out Burger, and it can be a challenge. But yeah, there's just a lot going on. North end of town. I don't even know we have a... We just call it North end of town is what everyone says. I think we should rebrand it like something like the North Gate or... Like,
there you know, go, yeah.
North A-Town or something, but the north side of town has a lot of commercial vacancy, a lot of open commercial lots on El Camino Real, and just some empty opportunities up there, empty land opportunities.
And is there anything that may go into Kmart we're hearing about, or is that still just sitting there?
That's a challenge. You know, it's been Laura Lake Capel with the city. She's kind of heads up business attraction, you know, is one of her jobs. And she talks to a lot of businesses to try to fill that space. And there's just there's a bit of deferred maintenance on the building, so it's a little bit hard for someone to go in there and do a big TI. They'd have to be a pretty big corporation. There was rumors of different grocery stores going in there. Those were all rumors. There was like a rumor of like a Tractor Supply that never really went anywhere either. In certain businesses, a big box businesses, they want to be anchored with another big box business. They don't want to be a standalone. You know, and unless you're like a Dollar General in like the Midwest or like the countryside, like they like to be like out in the middle of the field, it looks like, you know.
Right, yeah.
But I'm not sure how many big Dollar Generals we really need in North County. But so that complex is just a bit of a challenge. And being that I'm a big property rights advocate, you can't force anybody to do what the city wants you to do on your property. And we see that a lot in different areas. People, they say on Facebook, you know, why don't the city make them do this? And
right.
I mean, would you want me to come to your house and tell you what you should and shouldn't do in your backyard?
Right.
So,
well, we got one more segment with Seth Peek. We'll be right back with more Protecting What Matters.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages finishing mixed as investors digest mostly upbeat earnings reports. The Dow rose sharply as healthcare and consumer staple stocks lifted the index. However, the tech-heavy NASDAQ fell for a fourth straight session as chip stocks continue to falter. Oil prices fell with West Texas Intermediate crude at around $79 a barrel. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks were mostly higher as investors get in gear for earnings reports from Amazon, Microsoft, Meta, and Apple. Apple stock rose nearly 1%, with the tech giant briefly becoming the second publicly traded company in history to hit a market capitalization of $5 trillion. The Dow winners, Sherwin-Williams, IBM, and Coca-Cola. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Goldman Sachs, and Chevron. The Dow up 537 points, the Nasdaq lower by 55, S&P 500 up 16. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You're probably listening to this in your car, so let me ask you, would you drive without insurance? Of course not. So why is your retirement portfolio unprotected? Gold is portfolio insurance. It helps de-risk your savings when markets get unpredictable. Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of Americans do exactly that, with no high-pressure sales and thousands of five-star reviews. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
We have a beautiful new furniture store in Paso Robles, right next to Walmart. Ricky's Furniture Outlet, locally owned by fifth-generation Californian. Ricky's offers a large variety of furniture, Western art pieces, and specializes in custom sofas. Ricky's bright, beautiful showroom is a breath of fresh air here in the North County. Ricky's Furniture Outlet on Niblick, next to Walmart, in Paso Robles.
And welcome back to Protecting What Matters. If you'd like to call in, we need to hear from you now. The number is 238-5775, 238-KPRL. If you want to know what's happening in Atascadero and what other event, I mean, Atascadero has events. They have good events throughout the year. You know, you have like kind of the holiday parade where there's rides. There's all kinds of stuff. There's tamale festivals. I mean, what's going on in Atascadero?
Fall festival, Colony Days. Colony Days is kind of blending in with the fall festival. Winter Wonderland, you know, we got cruise night the end of August. So those are the big three things in the next few months.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. But concerts in the park or at the lake, like on Saturday nights, are really good. And we got some good lineups this year. And we released some licenses for food trucks over there. So there's going to be food for sale there. There's always different vendors there. And the concert itself is free. So bring a chair. And, you know, the greatest thing about Atascadero, even though I don't drink, is that you have an open container law.
Right.
So you can actually enjoy wine in the park, you know, or anywhere, Sunken Garden, wherever there's an event that's not a ABC licensed event, you can imbibe and enjoy yourself.
Right. No, and I think that's what's great about Atascadero and Templeton, mm-hmm. is both of those concerts in the park. You can bring a bottle of wine, you mm-hmm. can bring whatever you want to bring. They're selling stuff. I don't know. Are they selling beer and whatnot at Atascadero Park, or are you bringing your own?
I'm unclear on that. Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure. Man.
Well, they always tell you just admit it when you're not, you know, don't make it up.
I don't really, typically, I go there and usually we'll just get food there and watch the,
right.
Listen to music, but yeah, for sure.
And we do have a call. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah. Hi. I'm talking about Atascadero, and when Kmart went out, there's no place to buy underclothes.
Yeah.
Right. And we had that you guys had that little store downtown where the movie theater was. What was that called? Riley's? Or that was predating Seth, I think. But it's like a little department store that used to be there.
Yeah, that's definitely a need that is not filled by anybody else right now. Mm-hmm.
Nobody's looking at the undergarment problem.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that that's a lot of the household items like that, they were sold at Kmart. A lot of things like that are, they're just not available in person in Atascadero anymore. And a lot of people have switched to, you know, just overnighting it from Amazon Prime or whatever it is. And we're coming up here to Walmart and Paso Robles. So, yeah, it's definitely a need that's not fulfilled. I hear that. I hear that a lot. Yeah.
It kind of, it's a gentleman who grew up in Atascadero. So, and I don't do computers.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that a little bit. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for your time.
And I will say, you know, Seth, you're a businessman.
Yeah.
There could be an opportunity here.
Yeah.
You could go in an undergarment.
Being my last name is Peek, you know, you could like take a peek or something. You
know? Right.
Yeah.
There you go. You could do a little lingerie store.
Rolls up. I don't know about that. That wouldn't be my cup of tea, but
you gotta have it all.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a need for a lot of different businesses in Atascadero, and it's just, you know, like goes back to the old thing. You got private property owners. You got people that they either want to start a business or don't want to start a business. So can't force anybody to do what you're not going to do. And you can't force property owners to, you know, only rent a certain kind of businesses. It's just right. The way it is.
Yeah, I kind of miss Riley's and Shakey's. Right down there where the movie theater is, it was a Riley's, which was a big mall, kind of old school mall, but it was big for Atascadero in the day. And then there was the Shakey's Pizza.
That movie theater building that where the Colony Cinemas is, used to be Galaxy Colony Cinemas, and then where the donut shop was, that whole building recently was sold. It was a bank sale. So it has new owners, LLC, you know, owns it. So there's got to be something up their sleeves in terms of revitalizing. No one buys something like that for nothing. I mean,
right.
For no reason, I should say.
Right.
So curious to see what happens there. There's a lot of vacant parcels in that movie theater lot area that are still privately owned, and up to this point no real motivation to do anything with them. And so, you know, like it goes back to where, you know, the city can't really force anybody to build anything,
right?
And but what we can do is we can try to attract businesses to go in the surrounding buildings to make those developers, the people that own the land, more apt to do something with it, because it looks lucrative at that point. So
right.
The more attractive we can make certain areas look, the more other property owners are gonna you know, you live in a neighborhood and all your neighbors start like taking care of their sod and planting plants, right, and doing everything. Then
you gotta shame you into
your
doing
your
it.
Wife goes, hey, why don't we get our landscaping done,
you know? Right, exactly. Yeah. So what else? I mean, you guys have other things throughout there. You got the pub crawls. Yeah. What else do you got going?
I don't think we have any pub crawl. We have the sip and shop. We have the sip and shop. Sip and,
so that like was a while ago.
Downtown, four times a year.
There used to be a pub crawl. Did you guys get rid of it?
Yeah, I'm not aware of a pub crawl. We have a sip and shop once a quarter, and that's put on by the Chamber of Commerce. And
oh, so that's quarterly.
The winemakers will set up a tasting booth in different businesses around downtown. You buy a little card, and you go around, and you get wine tastings, and there's food trucks around. That's once a quarter. And that's pretty well attended, and it gets people out and about. We had a block party where the downtown businesses organized a month ago and had open houses, live music on different corners, and that was a fun time.
All right, you guys still doing like Dancing with the Stars or
Yeah, we are. I think it's I think that the Senior Center just did one similar to that, and then Dancing with the Stars is a benefit, I think, through Lumina Alliance.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, so Heather Moreno did it for the second year in a row this year. I was asked to do it. I just don't have time to.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's my thing either, you know?
So is there a centralized place? Does the city have a website or that kind of tells you about all these things?
Yeah, Atascadero.org. If you're looking for things that are more community-driven, visit Atascadero.com. And if anybody ever wants to get a hold of me, it's speak@Atascadero.org.
All righty, sir. Well, thank you for coming in. And hopefully people get down there at Atascadero. That downtown's turning into a really beautiful spot to hang out, go have dinner.
Yeah.
It's starting to compete a little more than it used to with Paso. And I think you guys are doing a great job, so thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
All right. Stay tuned tomorrow. I'll be back with Randall Jordan And a surprise guest. I'm trying to remember. Oh, I don't. I have a surprise guest. I actually haven't been told who it is.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.